pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise your name for who you are, for what you were willing to do for each one of us. That is, send your Son Jesus to die for us. This beautiful Sabbath morning, we want to praise you and give you all the glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you don't know it, I'm going to share this with you. But Pastor Jeff and I, we feel privileged of being part of this church. Amen? The Fallbrook Seventh-day Adventist Church. We say we are blessed. Look at our young people. Peter Flores and our violin and cello ensemble. Amen? Wow, what talent. What a privilege to worship God in this way. So we are blessed. We are happy to be here and to be able to share with you what we've learned from God's Word. And as you know, we've been studying the book of Daniel. For the past 2 months, we've been talking about Daniel chapter 1, chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And today we conclude with Daniel chapter 7. And we've called our series God Knows. And does he know? Amen. Amen. And he was willing to share this message, I believe, with this church. During Sabbath school, we were talking about our church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. God has bestowed us with a wonderful message. And we have the privilege, not just pastors, but all of us have the privilege to share this message with others. It's an urgent message, an important message that we need to know. We need to understand. And I want to tell you that the more I study it, the more things I discover. Amen? Amen. So we are all learning, and I can learn from you and what you've been reading, and I hope you can learn from me and what I've been studying and reading. We're going to start with this second vision found in Daniel chapter 7. Where's the first vision located? Does anybody remember? Daniel 2. Very good. That's the first vision in the book of Daniel. And this vision, chapter 7, and Daniel chapter 2 are located in the first section of the book of Daniel. And this section is written in Aramaic, okay? Chapters 8 through 12 is the second half of the book, the second section. And this was written in Hebrew. And this vision, Daniel chapter 7, has a structure. And we are going to see this structure because this is important to understand the vision. We'll look at the vision. And, of course, we'll look at the explanation. Amen? Amen? This structure is right there. It begins with Daniel chapter 7, verse 1, the introduction. Then comes the vision from verses 2 through 14. Then an explanation given by a holy being, an angel, verses 17 through 27. And it concludes with the epilogue. This same structure is seen in Daniel chapter 2. You'll see an introduction, you see the vision, and then Daniel receives an explanation, and then a conclusion or epilogue. And this is important because we will again see the same structure in Daniel chapter 8. Amen? So this is to help us understand this vision. So if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open it to Daniel chapter 7. And we're going to look at some of these verses. important to read them again, to find what the message is for us today. And verse 1, this introduction starts off by saying, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. Verse 2, the vision. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of man, and a mouth speaking great things. Verses 9 through 14 tell us and describe us a judgment scene. And last Sabbath we were able to study that a little more, and we might go back through these verses to see this judgment scene. But at the end, Daniel was astounded. What does this mean, God? What do all these beasts mean? What's happening? If you would have had a dream like that, would you have been scared?
Absolutely.
Yes, worried. These symbols, a lion with what? With wings. A bear with one side higher than the other. A leopard with how many heads? Did you guys catch that?
Four.
How many wings? Four. And then a beast. The fourth beast. Undescribable. Hadn't seen anything like it. Is the book of Daniel full of symbols? It is. Do we have other symbols in chapter 2? We do. Oops, I just went all the way up. I'm going to ask Isai to help me go back to the other mode. I pressed the button here. Sorry. There we go. And Daniel 2, full of symbols. And just as a review, the head of gold, who was it? The breast and arms of silver, who was it? The belly and thighs of bronze? And the legs of iron? Feet and toes of iron and clay? Divided Rome. And then Daniel saw this stone, this rock, come out, and he interpreted it as being God's kingdom. Do you think Daniel 7 might be related to Daniel 2? It is. It is related. And we'll look at Daniel 7 now, going through the images. A lion with wings. Who did it represent? Babylon. Have you guys seen images from this gate called Ishtar? And do you see lions there? They were used a lot in the Middle East. I was a little worried about bears because I had never seen an image of a bear on a wall in Egypt or in Babylon or on any book. And I was like, what about the bear? Where did that come from? Or the leopard? But I found this very interesting verse. And I hope I have it here in my notes. Found in Proverbs. It's not here. But it says that a bad ruler is like a bear and a leopard, ruling over their people. Let's continue. Bear with one side higher, Medo-Persia. The leopard with four wings and four heads, Greece. The beast, dreadful and terrible and strong, Rome. The same sequence. The ten horns divided Rome. But then he adds two new elements. And these are the two new elements. He sees a little horn that speaks great words, and then the judgment scene. All this happening before God's kingdom comes. Amen? These two elements appear before the second coming of Jesus. These are some of the images you find today in the Middle East, now probably in a museum, the British Museum or Louvre in Paris, France. You see these lions with wings, now with the head of a king, most likely the king that was reigning then. Or you see these bulls, and they were supposed to represent the king or the kingdom of Assyria, the kingdom of Babylon. And they had the name of protector. They were supposed to protect the city walls, the city gate, from any invader, from any of the enemies that were out there. But then you had other animals that, whoa, what is that? And we don't know. It has like feet of a lion or of a hawk in the back. And we can't tell. But these are images that Daniel most surely saw when he was in the city of Babylon. That's on Ishtar's gate too. And they believe it's a dragon. That's what it describes. We'll go back to Daniel 2 and 7 just to show the comparison between both of them. They match up, and what I did is just add a little star so that you would see the difference. More information coming there with a little horn with judgment and then God's kingdom. Now, Daniel was, let's go to verse 15. Daniel was grieved. It says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Aren't you happy that we don't have to find out? But there is a God who is willing to reveal it to us, brothers and sisters. I want to tell you this. Adventists are unique in their interpretation of prophecy. There's no other church that reads the book of Daniel and Revelation like we do. the Reformers did. Martin Luther, John Calvin, Zwingli. But for some reason, Satan was able to make people see the book of Daniel as something that it all was fulfilled in the past, or as something that would only be fulfilled way in the future, but not in our days. Powerful message. And Daniel was concerned because he could not understand it. But God sent his angel to explain it to Daniel. And let's see what the angel says. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four what? Kings or kingdoms, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall what? Take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I, Daniel again, would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head and of the other which came up and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horde made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume, to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen? God explains the vision through a messenger. The little horn. Who is it? Describes it as one having eyes of a man and a mouth. Speaks what? Great things. His appearance was greater than the rest. What does he do? Makes war with the saints and prevailed. What else does he do? Thinks to change the times and the law. And lastly, he will exercise great power for 3.5 years. What does it mean? Horns. Where do you find horns? Hopefully not above my head, no. In a bull? Where else? Ram? Goat? Do they use them? What do they use them for? For fighting. They press on. They show their strength, their might by using them. Especially when you see 2 rams going at each other. You see the amount of strength that is exercised. And that's exactly what horns represent in the Bible. Strength, power, force. Eyes like who? Like a man. And what? Mouth. His appearance was like the Son of Man. But he is not the Son of Man. It's not just a political entity. It's somebody who acts like Christ in some ways, but in other ways, acts like Satan himself. Mercy. Times and law. He would try to change the times and the law. This organization claims today that they changed Sunday or Sabbath worship to what day of worship? Sunday worship. And they're not shy about it. They say, we did it with our power. The power that God gave us. We've changed the day of worship. But not only that, what have they done with God's word? They've changed it too. They've added books. Heard of the book of Maccabees? Yes, or Tobit? These are books that we don't find in our Bible, but they've added them. 3.5 times. This power would exercise strongly for 1,260 years, from the year 538 to the year 1798, and it would receive a deadly wound. Do we know who that power is today? The Roman Catholic Church. Now, I have to say this, brothers and sisters. Are there God's people in that church today? Yes. Amen. I have family in that church. I'm praying for them. And you know what they tell me? They tell me this. This is what they say. You guys have the truth. You have it. We know you have it. They don't tell us these things in our church. But tradition, family ties, culture, all make it so difficult to make that step. And to want to practice the things that the Bible says. So this power would arise before the second coming of Jesus. Amen? Do we see that power arising again today? We see it. They're not afraid to say, you want to fix this financial situation in the world? We've got the solution. Let's make this organization that takes care of all financial institutions in the world. And they might even say, we have experience. We have 1,500 years of experience. But that's not the only thing that Daniel 7 talks about. It also talks about what? Anybody here afraid of judgment? No? Some might. Anybody been to traffic court? How does it feel to go to traffic court? It's like, oh, I was a long time ago. No. I had to go to traffic court here in Temecula. And I saw the names being listed. So-and-so, step up. And they would step up and the judge would be sitting there. A police officer would come. We would look, and he would say, I know Officer so-and-so. He's been a police officer for 15 years. He has a perfect track record. And I see here you've gone over the speed limit, so-and-so. Do you have anything else to add? No, sir, I'm innocent. And then he would look at the officer, and the officer said, well, I calibrated my radar gun, and it was working perfectly that morning. And so I recorded 90 miles an hour. Sir, you are guilty. And I saw name after name. And the judge would say the same thing. I know Officer so-and-so. And you are guilty. I was sitting in my chair going, oh no! I should have just paid the fine, done traffic school, and my insurance would not go up. I was trembling. You know why? Because the judge knew all the police officers, but he didn't know who I was. I was in deep trouble. But what about this judgment scene? Should we be afraid of that judgment scene? Not at all. He has given all judgment to whom? Jesus, the Son of Man. Does Jesus know you and me? He knows us. God's kingdom will be given to whom? Wow, imagine going to court because you're going to receive an inheritance. Amen? How would you go, all shy, trembling? Or, hey, you've got an inheritance. You just have to go to the court, sign the papers. Whoa. The powers of this world will not prevail and will be consumed. An end, finally, to sin. Amen? That's our message. That's the privilege that we have as a church to go out and shout it, share it. Time is running short, isn't it? But we need to know it. We need to understand it in order to share it. God's kingdom is given to whom? Is that good news, brothers and sisters? It's what kind of a kingdom? One that's going to fall also like the other four? It's an everlasting kingdom. This one will not fall. And it's one where all will serve and obey him. Amen? What are you afraid of? Things you see on TV today? Or on the internet? Financial situation, maybe? What is 2012 going to be like? Wow. Has it been hard in 2011? Yes. It's been very hard. Very hard. How about relationships? How are those looking? At home? With friends, at church, health. Does that worry you? Has the doctor been calling you more often to come to the office than usual? Or maybe it's my relationship with God. How is that? Are we taking the time to know him? You see, he knows us. He knows us. But do we know him? Do you believe he's coming soon, brothers and sisters? He knows who we are. He knows my fears. He knows your fears. But you know what he says? Fear not, for I am with you. Always, until what? The end of times. Fear not, I am with you always, until the end of times. He knows you and me by name. And he's promised to protect us. Will it be easy? No. It says that the saints are going to be what? Worn out. They're going to be tired of so much oppression, of so much persecution. But we, grounded on his word and his promises, will not be afraid. Amen? That's the message that Daniel 7 shares with us. A message that you and I can share with others. Amen.